Oh, yep, there's record under more.
Here we go. All right, I'm Mary Barbara Hannah, and welcome to my podcast, The Junk Drawer. In fact, this is episode one, and even part one, because I'm being cheap and recording on Zoom that I'm not paying for it. So we only get 40 minutes. We've already spent 20 minutes talking. So this is my guest, Anna Baldy, Anna
Hello.
Totten Baldy,
Oh my goodness.
actually. And let me just say how I know Anna. I don't know how old she is now, but I met her when she was five. A
I'm 42.
beautiful, oh my God, 37 years ago, which makes sense because that's how old Lauren is. She's 37. So that makes sense. So Anna is the daughter of my ex-husband's brother and his wife, Jeff and Jeanette Totten. This is our niece, beautiful niece, Anna. And beautiful. I always remember your long dark hair. I mean, that's always, and your big brown eyes. I mean, those are the two things that have always stuck with me. And then we brought Lauren along and gave Anna a little cousin. And then it was many years later before you finally got some more cousins. And by then it probably felt like you were babysitting more than being cousins.
Yeah, I feel like more of an adult at that point, for sure.
So I've asked Anna, in fact, I don't know how you and I got chatting. Oh my God, that hasn't been very long. Anyway, I think Anna volunteered to be on the
I did.
podcast. She's like, I have a lot to say and I'm not afraid to say it. And so bring me on, sister. And I said, oh my God, this is amazing. So Anna and I, before we started recording, realized that it's been 20 years since we've spoken. But because of the magic of the internet, Instagram, Facebook, I actually know all about her. I talked about her kids. I talked about her pets. I know that she's changed jobs. I know that she's had some health issues. She doesn't know much about me, though, because she never mentioned anything about me in my life. So I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm the host. I get to be informed. It's my
I'm
job.
very selfish.
As an only child, you should be. And as the mother of an only child, I encourage it. As a matter of fact, I did apologize to Lauren's husband, Dana, and told him, like, I spoiled her and I can't help it and too bad for you. Then that's what you got. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. So the junk drawer. So as I was explaining to Anna, the reason I wanted to do this podcast, as many of you might know, I did the podcast called Bookshelf Shelfies, all focused on books and reading and what we got going on. I really wanted to be able to broaden the scope of things that we talk about, but I also don't want it to be scripted, like a scripted interview show. So to me, the junk drawer just seems to epitomize the idea that we could open a drawer, just start digging around, see what we've got in there, and have a conversation. So I know based on the people I have lined up to interview, our conversations are going to be widespread. They're going to travel all over the place. And anyway, so I'm glad to have you, Anna. Thank you for doing this today. I appreciate you.
Of course. Thanks for inviting me. I'm so excited to
Okay.
be
So let's just start off. What did you, I asked Anna to bring something from her junk drawer. So let's start off with what'd you bring?
I brought this. Can you
What
see it?
I can.
Okay. So this
So
is
I'm
a
going to
little.
guess. I'm going
Oh,
to
yeah.
guess. It's off of a hummingbird feeder.
It is.
I
So it's a
win.
little red flower plasticky thing. Our junk drawer is not as fruitful as it once was.
Because.
Our kitchen's only about a little over a year old.
Okay.
So everything still feels pretty organized in there. But there is one specific drawer that gets the randomness, and that is where this little guy came from.
What do you think is going to happen to that little guy? Why did he end up in the junk drawer?
Well, it's an extra head to the hummingbird feeder that I put out a year ago, never brought in, and got filled with ants. But I swore that I was going to keep up with it. So I was like, I'll put the extra heads in that drawer. And when one goes bad, I'll swap them out and we will have hummingbirds. And we did not have any hummingbirds because there were
So after this conversation, what will you do with that little red plastic
I will
flower?
put it back in the drawer where I found
Nice. Okay. Where I found it. That's so funny because I think a junk drawer is full of stuff that we have found but don't know where to put it, right? So usually
You're
that's
correct.
why we end up. So we have two junk drawers. I'm gonna spill
Okay.
the beans right now, and I don't know
Tell me
how that
about it.
happened. Yeah, no, I don't know how it happened. It just overflowed into another one. Originally, I had this great idea that I would use one drawer as a purse drawer. You know how you swap out purses and everything doesn't always fit.
Oh my gosh,
And
yes.
so I would put everything in this drawer, and then when I was changing purses, I would just stop by, put in what I needed, take out what I don't need, put it in that drawer. And I, who knows? I mean, that we've been here for 8 years, so I actually don't know. There could be stuff in that drawer that I actually do need in my purse or have been looking for in a purse and thought I lost. And then eventually just somehow another one was created. So we actually have two junk drawers in this house. Let me ask you this about your junk drawer before we get started on something else. Was it a conscientious decision in your kitchen about which drawer should be the junk drawer when you were organizing and planning and
I don't think so.
yeah.
I think it was just like the smaller drawer that got some of the like overflow like spatulas and things like that. And then it just turned into like, well, we'll keep the meat thermometer in here, which makes some amount of sense. But now it's like the rubber bands go in there and like the hummingbird heads, and there's a measuring tape, you know, the random, I think I saw an Allen wrench in there. Like there's just kind
Nice.
of,
That's
that's
good.
where the randomness has
Yeah,
landed, and
right.
it's in a corner.
Okay.
And it is where I stand to cook all the time though. So I'm not sure it actually, the knives should probably go there now that I'm thinking about it and putting my interior design hat on. But it's fine. This is where we've landed. So that's our junk drawer.
That's where it is. And if you move it now, it'll be confusing. What happened
Too
to the junk
confusing.
drawer? Yeah, like
Right.
where what do we do with it now? Like you're gonna,
Yeah,
and then
where
you
does it
end up
go?
walking around the kitchen holding the thing. And you're like, well, I was gonna, it goes, but we moved. So, and then also, was there ever a like an actual conversation with your spouse or kids? Like, this is the junk drawer. Or did people
No.
just an unspoken agreement in your family, like, oh, this is where we put that stuff now?
I think it's an unspoken rule for sure. I did have two drawers that there's like a pet drawer
Oh, yeah.
where we keep all the dog and cat like medications and stuff. And then there's the drawer, we have IKEA cabinets, so it's like the garbage was
Okay.
pulled out, and then there's that little one on top of it.
Yeah.
That used to be the pet drawer, and then the one next to it was where we had like the foil and the cling wrap.
Yeah.
And one day I decided to switch them, and it was the end of the world in the home. Everybody was like, "Where's the parchment paper? Where's Klaus's? Klaus is our dog. Where's Klaus's medication?" I'm like, "Guys, I just swapped
People.
them because I got sick of opening the trash to get to the pet stuff.
Right,
But
right.
now everyone's sick of opening the trash to get to the parchment paper. So
Oh,
I can't
what
win."
can you do? Yeah, no,
Yeah.
it's an impossible
So
situation.
I've learned I
Junk
just have to let
drawers.
things happen, or people get
Right, there's a lot of negotiating that goes on. I mean, I find junk drawers kind of interesting because I don't think my husband and I, maybe one time I said to him like, oh, here's the kind of the junk drawer if you want to throw stuff in here, you know, this is where it is. And then I do every now and then open it to see, and I'm like, what are we doing with? And then I think someday my daughter Lauren will have to come clean out this house. And there are certain things that I hope I will have cleaned out before then. But there are certain things I refuse to clean out just so she has the joy of cleaning it out, like opening the junk drawer and being like, really, Mom, this is
What
what
is
you left me. It could have been diamonds and furs, but no, it's the rubber bands and the twist ties. Thanks. That's what I'm getting out of it. Okay, very
love
nice.
that so much, and
Yeah.
I will help Lauren with that
Oh,
because,
thank you. That's nice.
as a fellow only child, I know it's a big thought to think about
Yes.
as I watch
Yeah.
like my parents take care of their parents, and they have brothers and sisters, and I'm just sitting here like, and they just put them in a field. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do when it's just me having to worry about this.
That's kind of interesting. So, as I hope will happen in a junk drawer conversation, something will pop up that I hadn't thought about talking to you about, and then I want to explore it a little bit. So can we explore being an only child
Please.
as we age, as you age? So I'll just people who are listening that know me know that I'm one of seven. I have five brothers and a sister. Two of my brothers have passed away, reducing us to five. So we still have a big gang of people hanging around doing stuff. And to your point, when my mom died in 2008, we had my dad, but we had all of us. And then my dad passed away in 2022. Again, we had all of us. And we cleaned out the house, which was a huge project, and led to some hilarity going on because two of my brothers were just walking around with garbage bags and just throwing stuff in. And my sister and I were mortified and like crying and yelling and, you know, what are you doing? And then
Yeah,
my
we
sister
need to
hit
think about every object.
exactly. And then my sister had to go back. She lives in San Diego. So she went back to San Diego and I would go up to the house and I was trying to get everything from so that all of the rooms were empty. And I got everything that was left into the living room because then we hired somebody to come in and sell it. auction it, whatever they do. They clean out the house. She's the real estate agent. She knows people, and then she would sell the condominium where they lived. And but before that could happen, I had to take my phone, call my sister, and do a FaceTime. And she wanted me to show her every object. Like, what's that? What's that? What's that? And my brother walks in while it's happening. He's like, "What the F are you doing?" And I'm like, "Shut up. Megan and I are looking at every single thing." And he's like, "It's not going in my basement," which it is still in his basement. I just want to say, Kieran still has boxes of stuff that belong to Megan.
Oh
Anyway,
my gosh, that
so
is so
that's,
funny.
we do have this huge support group, and it makes
Yeah.
such a huge difference. And we have a million cousins, so everything we do, whenever there's something going on, we've got a huge support group. So from my perspective, I think about Lauren. I haven't actually thought about you, but now I will. And making plans, like making sure I have stuff in place so that when the time comes, she's not alone doing it.
Yeah, that's thoughtful of you. That's
Well,
very
just because I've
thoughtful.
dealt with a lot of stuff. So what is, yours? Oh, we have our meeting will end in 10 minutes. I'm not going to upgrade right
Okay.
now. We'll talk for 10 and then come back. So tell me a little bit about the thought process for yourself as you are in the middle. You're kind of becoming one of those people where you're raising kids, but now you're going to be helping care for your parents. What are some things that come across your mind?
Yeah, it's not really something that I It's something I knew was there, but I don't think I really dug into it too much. But after my dad's he had open heart surgery about a year ago, and at the time my mom wasn't driving, and he couldn't drive, so it was like, oh, can you pick this stuff up at the grocery store for us? Or he wanted to go to the grocery store because he wanted to get out and about, but he couldn't drive, so it was like, okay, well, I'll pick you up, and like he's accustomed to going to four different stores. So we had to go to four different stores, and God love him, if that's what he needs, that's what he needs. But I'm like, I will pay an extra dollar for my bag of chips if I just go to one place. Like, I am not a, in this stage of my life, I am not a four grocery store kind of gal. So, it was an interesting moment of realization, because I'm like dealing with my kids and bringing my dad all these places, and like, it was just kind of a like, oh wow, one day I'm gonna have to really do this. So I don't know that I've dug into it more than that, just realizing it's gonna happen. I think my mom and dad have been cleaning out some areas of their home, but I will be honest, for the past 3 years, they've been asking me to come over and clean out my closet from my room. Like, it's like there's relics in there, like my old lifeguard, like fanny pack, and like my prom dress and my homecoming dresses. Like, my mom kept everything.
Oh my God. Well, you could probably take him to a what do you call that? Like a thrift store, a secondhand store where they collect old things.
I hope they want a really old lifeguard pack. And I have not done that yet. I can't
That's a
bring
big
myself
step.
to do it.
Yeah, so when you say I can't bring myself to do it, what do you think is stopping you? The enormity, the memories? I mean, like what's the
I don't know. I think it's just been such a hectic 2 years that I'm like, when I get a day that I don't have anything to do, the last thing I want to do is go clear out my closet of memories, who I used to be, So it's like, yeah, it'll be there. It's fine. And if they really don't want it, they can get rid of it. I've gone 20 plus years without it. Like, what am I going to do with it now?
This is the thing. So this is what I say to Lauren. Like I have lived, I moved a lot. So after your Uncle Scott and I got divorced, I moved many, many times. And so my belongings got fewer, 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 fewer. Like I had one piece of furniture and I had one set of, and then I ended up moving to Hong Kong and got married
That's
and
right. Yes.
everything got, more and more and more. So now I'm back in the situation where I've lived in the same place for 8 years now. And despite my best efforts, stuff keeps coming in this house. And I'm trying to get stuff out of this house. But I say to Lauren, nothing that will be here by the time you come around will really be of value. So throw it away. But also I say, I just can't bring myself to throw things away. Like I have stuff from when I went to college, books that I read, papers that I wrote. Years ago, who cares? But I care. It's my stuff. I don't want to throw it away. I just, too bad. I'm gonna somebody else has to deal with it. So yeah, to your point. And so then turnabout might be fair play. They're saying the same. So when the time comes, Anna's just gonna have to
Yeah,
come in with a big
I
garbage
mean,
bag and
if my swimming awards are still on the wall when that time comes, then I will do with them what I please.
Oh, that's right. You swam, let me guess, backstroke.
I did at
And
some point.
butterfly?
I was a freestyle sprinter
Oh,
mainly,
free. Okay.
but I was capable of doing all of them,
Yeah.
so I was put in all of the
Oh.
arenas, but freestyle sprinting was my bread and butter.
Okay. All right. I
Yeah.
think I remember backstroke a little bit. All right. So
Yeah.
when it comes to being the only child and facing the future, what else are we thinking about when it comes to caring for your parents? Oh, I know. So what kind of conversations do you have with them, if any, about it?
Honestly, we haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess I probably should.
Oh, I don't know if you
But
should or
yeah,
you
we haven't
shouldn't.
really. Yeah, we haven't discussed
Well, I think
it.
if your dad takes after his mother, you've got at least 30 more years of your dad.
Yeah, for sure. We'll get
If
them
that's a good thing or a
eventually.
bad thing. Dad,
Right.
we're not going to four stores today.
Right. Yeah. Can you
Funny.
pare it down to two, please?
I don't think I guess when it comes to having only children too, I do remember when Lauren was in 7th grade, one of her teachers told me that was Lauren's whole problem, my daughter, that she was an only
Oh
child and that
no.
that was the problem. And
Oh, I
I
don't like
just had
that.
to guffaw because I thought, what should I do now? Run out and have a baby? Like having a baby when Lauren is 12 is the solution to this to what I, and there were no problems because hilariously in the same parent-teacher conference, there was like a group of teachers. The next teacher says, Mrs. Totten, I also have an only child and there's nothing wrong with your daughter. And I was like, yeah, exactly what I thought. But anyway, just a testament to maybe
Yeah.
poor team building on their part at Cleveland Public Schools.
Yeah.
Lauren had great
Well,
teachers there, but
Lauren is one of my favorite people. I don't spend enough time with her, but she's just wonderful. So you did a beautiful job.
you, thank you. Her dad and I tried hard.
And that teacher doesn't know anything
Yeah,
because Lauren's phenomenal.
right. All right. So we've caroused a little bit around the single, the only child with the aging parents, realizing maybe we're going to have to re-interview you in the future and see how that part of your life is
Yeah,
going.
for sure.
The next thing, so I think what I'll do is I'm going to end us here and then we'll
Okay.
log on to the other Zoom link. So for those of you
Yeah.
listening, first episode, I'm still trying this thing out. I didn't want to spend money. I'm too cheap on good software. So you're going to hear some splicing and dicing and putting together of two different interviews. But when we come back, and actually this would be like, I guess in real life, if I had a commercial, this would be a great spot for that. But when we come back, we're going to talk with Anna, who quit her job one day and started her own company the next day. That's the part of the
I
junk
truly did.
drawer we're going to look at. All right. So
Great.
Anna, I'll see you in a minute.
Okay, bye.
Bye. However much of it you want to share, like the, but
Sure.
I'd like to hear from like, I got frustrated. I left that job. I started my company and where you are now. So kind of like a chapter
Okay,
story.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to take you all the way back to my time at HSB Architects.
Okay.
I was there for 14 years.
Oh, I'm going to stop you there. Why don't you tell us
Yeah.
what your major is? What did you get a degree
Oh,
in?
duh.
No,
So
that's
my degree was interior design. I
okay.
graduated from Kent State University in 2004, so 20 years ago. Yeah, so I'm an interior designer, which
Great.
everyone
Okay.
thinks is fluffing pillows and just having fun, but it's not. We're so much more than that. But yeah, so I graduated college, did some small jobs here and there, and then ultimately got a job at HSB in 2007. And then I spent 14 years there. By the time I left, I was their director of interior design. I had three designers under me that I had hired. Under me, I use that term loosely. I didn't really like to
Sure.
consider myself a manager. You know, I'm an older millennial, but still a millennial manager where I'm like, no, I'm not your boss. I'm just like here to help you know? So I was there for quite a while. I loved working there. I was very proud of the work that I did. It was definitely part of my personality, that job. I really hung my hat on being able to be successful and design commercial projects. I did a lot of offices, corporate
Yeah,
design.
okay.
I'm sitting here playing with my hummingbird feeder
Oh, I'm
phone
so glad
while I'm
it's bringing you
talking.
comfort. That's good.
And I also designed some restaurants. I did a preschool once.
Cool.
Commercial design is basically considered public spaces for for people to use. We're not designing homes, we're designing public spaces. So it was 2021. So I was there through the start of the pandemic. And then I had hit a point where I was told my salary was capped, which is not always great to hear. I just was like, wait, am I going to do this for the rest of my life? I was in my 30s, and my goal after I graduated from Kent was to be an interior designer at an architecture firm, and I hit that goal in 3 years. And my job when I started there was largely the same as when I ended there. There's only so much you can do. Architects aren't usually very interested in having interior designers become a partner in their firm.
Oh, why is that, do you think?
I don't know. Sometimes it feels like a boys' club, but I don't really just want to pin it on that. And I'm not saying that's all of them. I've definitely heard of a few where designers have been able to step up into the ranks. I'm not sure many of us want to be either. Had I
Okay.
been asked to be a partner at HSB, I would have said no. I didn't want to be a partner with the people in charge. They're fine people. I just didn't want to own something with them. So I kind of sat there and was like, my salary's capped. I have done this for 14 years. Now what? It was the pandemic. I think a lot of us were thinking that.
For sure.
And my husband works at TRG Multimedia, which is a
Okay.
photo studio nearby. He now has been there almost 20 years. So I know the owner real well. We'd had conversations several times about me coming on there because they needed a set designer. They didn't have one, but he felt like it would be a benefit because they had a construction team that was building these sets for the photos. They did a lot of like residential photo sets.
Okay.
So that they're three-walled sets that look like a bathroom, but it's not in a real house.
Yeah. So
And
don't
then
use
they
the
had art,
toilet.
right? Don't use the toilet. There's no water. Well, sometimes there is, but then they had art directors that are very creative. And it's like you have these technical people and these creative people, and they are not communicating properly. And that's where I come into play. I'm creative, but I also can do construction drawings and understand how things are built. So I can help them talk. So Adam, the owner over there, brought me on in 2021, and I decided to leave my job that I loved and take a risk. So
Okay.
I did. I loved working at TRG. It's a fantastic company. It was not as creative as I had hoped it would be for me, and I started getting to a point where I really missed running projects. I need a sip of my tea, hold
Yeah,
please.
go right ahead. So, just pausing for a second, it wasn't as creative. So it was more like about logistics or yes. That's fine. That's fine.
Oh.
She's sipping her tea while we
Sipping my
gaze.
tea. So yeah, it just you get direction from a marketing team. This is what I want my picture to look like. And then we would make a picture happen. But the creative direction largely came from the art directors. So I was just kind of a vessel to make it happen, make sure what they envisioned could be built, and fit in the spaces. And I was used to meeting a client, coming up with the program, coming up with the vision, executing the vision. You know what I
Gotcha.
mean?
Yeah,
And
project
then seeing it
management,
all
yeah.
come to fruition.
Yeah.
And this was people telling me what to do. And as it turns out, I don't love being told what to do. So even though I adored everyone there, I adored the company as a whole. I loved working at a place where my husband was.
Yeah.
I got to bring my dog to work every day.
Oh.
It was just a very joyful, a joyful place. I met some of my best friends there.
Oh.
But I was missing that creativity. And it also reignited my spark for residential design.
Yeah.
When you go to Kent, they really beat into you that you need to do commercial spaces.
Okay.
We're not pillow fluffers. We're not, it's beat into you. No residential design. Then I went there and I was like, but I like pillows. And I don't mind fluffing them. So I found it was one day I was just particularly frustrated with my role and not fulfilling for me. Because like I had said, my job had become part of my personality, and now it's like a part of it was gone. So I looked up interior design jobs in Cleveland, and a residential firm popped up that was looking for a senior designer. And I was like, I'm just gonna apply. I just did it on a whim.
I like it.
I had no reason to think that they would want to hire me. And then they did.
For better
I went in for,
or for worse.
yeah, so I went in for an interview and decided at the end of the day that it was a good move for me. I was there for 4 months, and it turned out it was not a great move. It was two women that owned the company together, and I'm trying to be very delicate when I say this,
Yeah.
but there was a lot of gaslighting going on. Anything that went wrong was my fault. And the two women were very close, so they would not, it was never their fault. I'm the new girl. It was just the three of us. There was nobody else,
Oh.
kind of.
Oh.
So it's kind of an echo chamber for them
Yeah.
when
Yeah.
they're echoing each other and saying, well, she's not doing working as fast as she said she was going to, and she's and then I start believing that I'm not. So I was really having kind of a existential crisis without sounding
Absolutely.
dramatic. Like
No, it
I
doesn't sound dramatic at all, actually. Because that's what
yeah I
gaslighting does to you, right? You start to question
yes
yourself and you're like, I'm a professional. I've been doing this for, 16 years. I know how to do this job. And suddenly I can't.
yeah
But to your point, when there's nobody there to bounce it off of, like, is it really me or is it them?
yeah
You know? Yeah.
yeah it was very confusing time for me. And I know gaslighting is kind of a buzzword, so I hesitate to use it, but also that's exactly what it
Yeah, I don't think it's
was.
a buzzword.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
I
were,
don't use it that way. I think it just that's all you can describe it as. Yeah.
yeah, they did reviews every month, and I had to answer 2 pages of questions. Yeah, it was a lot of that, and
Not very
the
efficient.
one, and I was like, you guys, this really isn't a good way to. I can't achieve anything in a month. Like, if I'm not given that same task again, how am I gonna improve on it? And well, this is what we're doing. Okay. And the woman that was the designer there had a 2-year degree. She didn't know how to do drawings. So it's one of those scenarios where she changed careers, which I support anyone doing, but then she had to hire people like me to get the work done.
Yeah.
And that's where I get a little bit frustrated, because I'm like, I put in a lot of time to earn my degree and learn everything I needed to be able to do this job. And now you just want to profit off of what I'm doing. And when I interviewed for that job, I was very clear that I had aspirations to start my own firm. I wanted to go out on my own. And I was sick of just working for someone. I wanted to contribute to something that I could help build. And I was brought on as someone that potentially could be a partner in this company.
Okay.
So when it was then this gaslighting situation of, well, you're not performing like you said you would, but we're going to help you. We can get you there. We're the answer. And I'm like, I started to believe that I had lost myself. And I don't know if we'll get there, but I had cancer in the middle of all of, before all of this. It was just a year before I started that I had ovarian cancer, and I literally was like, cancer changed me and I can no longer do my job. That's, it would be to the point where like I would tell my husband Jeremy, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And he'd be like, you can do this. Like, just go in there, remember who you are. He's like giving me pep talks. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And then I would fail at something else. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then it wasn't until one of my best friends was actually hired as our design assistant. And it was a month before I quit that this happened. And the owners were gone one day, and she kind of popped her head in, and she was like, are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Of course.
Okay. She's like, they're bullshitting you and they're gaslighting you and you should not be here. And I was like,
Shout out to the best
Oh my
friend.
gosh, you're right.
My
It was
gosh.
like a light bulb. I just needed someone else to see it for me because I
Yeah.
was so far in it and had decided that I was doing everything wrong.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I'm going to pause right there because I think what you're talking about is those of us who are accountable will always look to ourselves first as the source of the problem because we're honest and we're willing to work and look deeply and reflect and change and do better. And the people who do gaslight others, who are insincere, they're afraid, they're cowards, whatever. I mean, bullies, you know. They're happy to let you take the fall. And so people like you, like me, like a lot of people we know, are like, oh, I'm doing something wrong because I'm doing everything I think I should be doing and it's not working. And rather than, I don't know how we get to a place where we make it stop happening and call them out. I always think there's that great parable about the emperor's new clothes. Do you remember that
I
one?
do.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, this is like gaslighting. It's the emperor's new clothes. Who is going to say it first? You're lying. This is not what's really going down here. And not easy to do when you're the employee and you're the new person, but always a result of being somebody who's accountable and trustworthy. Okay. I just wanted to get my
I
little
take,
like
oh, you're
mom
right. No,
face
I
on
take
there.
so much pride in my work,
Yeah.
and my biggest stressor has always been pleasing my boss. I want the people I work for to be very happy with the work that I do, and I have massively high expectations for myself. I think higher than anybody that's ever hired me has had. So it's like when I'm not meeting their expectations, I'm like, oh no, what have
Yeah.
I done? You know?
It's happened. Everybody knows I'm a loser.
Everybody's got imposter syndrome to some degree, and I'm
That's
like, oh
right. That's
man,
right.
everyone knows I'm an imposter. And I'm like, no, I'm actually incredibly qualified to do this, and I'm good at it. Remember who you are, you know?
Yes, I
So
love
once that
that.
was pointed out to me, I started receiving other nuggets from people, you know, vendors saying like, you know, I'd give them drawings that I did, and they'd be like, oh, we've never received drawings like this from this company before, like. Did you do these? And I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh, we usually just get like a scribble or whatever, which is also fine if that's how you're gonna work. But like, I just, oh, well, that's why they think I'm taking too long because I'm actually doing the job right. You know, a comment from another one, oh, well, five of their employees quit this year. What? You know, I was told that, but I was told there were reasons for all
Of
of them, and
course,
then
of
it didn't.
course, of course.
You
It's
know,
always
when I
something
find out from
else.
other people, I'm like, oh, the reasons don't feel as simple as they were presented to me. You know, things just start trickling down. So I'm like, okay, I'm getting frustrated now. And I think there was one week that I had to give a presentation to a client on their addition. And I had only been working on it. The owner did not work on it really at all, other than like seeing what I did. And I was sick on a Monday, then coming in Tuesday, and she wanted to see where I was at. So we're going over everything, but I had been out. And so everything was not quite where I wanted it to be. And the presentation was in a day. And I was like, okay, you know, I've done worse before I can pull this together. And she just starts laying into me. You need to have this. You don't have the faucets. You don't have this. You don't have that. And I just looked at her and I said, you know, I've been presenting for 20 years. This is not my first time doing this, and I think I can
How, when
handle
you
it.
said that, what was your physical reaction while you were saying it?
I was furious.
Oh, furious. Okay.
I was furious because my, I was at that point, I was like ready to fight. I
Yeah.
was no longer passive
Yeah.
and submissive. I was like, no, I'm effing Anna Baldy, and I am not going to let you tell me what I am doing wrong anymore. You know,
Wow.
I
That's
was like done.
amazing. Yeah.
And honestly, that's the power of friendship, if you ask me, because this was within a matter of weeks
Yeah.
from my friend just being like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So it, you know, that's the power of somebody you love and trust really looking out for you.
Yeah,
And
for
I'm so
sure.
thankful to her, for being that person to me. But when I said that, the owner gave me a lot another lecture about how I need to be able to receive feedback. I'm terrible at getting feedback.
I feel like
It's
on
her
like this.
Yeah, it's her business, so she needs to be the one that looks at it and has the final say. She's allowed to give me feedback, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. So then, the rest of that week I was just kind of probably pissy. And then it was the following week that all of a sudden the other sister came in and said, "Hey, we have your 4 month review ready if you want to come in." Now, this was very, very rare, because normally it was a week before the review, they would email me the questions and I'd have a week to fill them out and they would schedule it and I would know. This was just, "We're ready for your review." And I knew, Jeremy knew, and my friend that was there knew, like, if I had a review, there's no way I'm staying here, because I can't sit through that again. And it's important to understand that these women were very nice. They did present very nice and kind, and it did seem like they cared. I'm not sure they cared in the way that I typically care for people, but they presented it as like, "We want to help you. We want to bring you with us. We want to lift you up, because you're failing in so many ways." So I sat down and they handed me a piece of paper that was like a page and two thirds front back, a page on the front, two thirds on the back. And they said, "We're just going to skip over the front. Let's just go to the last page, and that's where we have listed the things we want you to work on in the next 3 months."
Holy shit.
And I said, "Okay." And the first thing they lay into is, "I need to be able to take feedback," because they just hated when I gave them my opinion anymore. And I just said, "Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. I can't do this anymore." This is like, everyone dreams of doing this, right?
They
It's
do.
like,
I know. If you're just listening to this podcast, I wish you could see what my face looked like when she said that. I was just like, oh my God.
yeah.
Because, girl, I don't, that takes courage.
And let me explain something. I did not have the money to be doing this. We didn't have the savings for me to be quitting my job. This was not like, "Oh, I have millions in the bank," or even hundreds, or even thousands in the bank. No, like, we did not have the money for me to be doing this. I just knew that my mental health could no longer be put in jeopardy.
Yeah. So
Um,
take,
so I,
okay. So you say to them, I'm
yeah.
going to stop you right here. And
Yep.
then what happens? You, what do you say next? What do they do?
They tried to make me feel better. I don't think they understood what I was saying. Actually, I know they didn't understand what I was saying. And they tried to work through it, and I just said, "No, you don't understand. Like, I'm quitting. I can't work here anymore. This
Are
isn't
you saying
working for
those
me."
words and inside thinking like, holy shit, I can't believe I just said I'm quitting? Like, are you
No.
having two moments or no, you're 100% all in
I
on
am
like I'm
all in
quitting.
and focused, because I literally cannot, for the fourth time in a review, and probably the 15th time in my 4 months working there, hearing, "I am not enough and I can't do it anymore." And they were like, "Okay." And it was actually a very pleasant conversation. I can see how people probably would build it up like we were all angry at each other. No, they were happy that I told them. They're like, "Okay, if it's not, right fit for you, we're glad you let us know." Like, we were all in kind of agreement. I wasn't like irate. It was just like very matter of fact. We all hugged. It was actually more calm than anybody would probably imagine, because I hadn't read the front side of that paper yet. Yeah.
Okay, because there's
Yeah.
actually a part of me is like, wait, you hugged?
Uh-huh,
Okay.
I know. Yeah,
Okay.
but this was like, that's what I mean when I say like they seem like very nice people, and I still believe that they do try to be nice people, because I want to see the good in people. That was
Yeah.
just my ring hitting the table. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
But then I went back to my office, and I had a dentist appointment that day, so I had to leave at like 2:30 or something like that. And I went in my office,
Can I
and
just
I.
say, this is my humor. When is it time to go to the dentist? 2:30.
2:30.
And that's when you went. When it was
That is when I went.
2:30.
It
That entertainment is just free. That was a freebie. All right.
That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
So I had to leave, but I'm in my office and I flip the paper over and I gasped. I what I saw was 4 points that were positive, and they were all surrounding my communication and my ability to present to clients. And then it was all negative, the remainder of that. And the four positives were maybe a third to a quarter of the page, and the rest of it were negatives, including the things they wanted me to work on. I view them as negatives because it was everything I was doing wrong, in their opinion. And some of these things were just straight up defamatory. I mean, I kept asking, I was asking how the search for a design assistant was going, and I was told, oh, it's fine, working on it, because I was told that they wanted me to be a part of the business. They actually had me interview several of the design assistants. So I was asking because I was interested in that
Yeah.
function of the business. They wrote that I kept asking when we were hiring a design assistant so I could pass off my responsibilities onto them. Because at one point I did ask, what would the design assistant be doing? Could I have them do my field measures for me? Like, how can I utilize them? And I was told, no, they're largely for the main designer to have, basically to do her bidding. Also, I was asking because my friend wanted the job, and
Yeah,
I
of
thought
course.
she would be phenomenal for the job, and that's how she got it. So, like, I'm just reading these things and how they interpreted things I was doing that I thought I was being
Wow.
a contribution to the company, and instead it was a negative to them. So, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. A lot of the stuff they commented were things that I really prided myself on my entire career. So, to be called out and questioned on them, and it's okay for someone to do that, let me be very clear.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah.
But they were incorrect. I just don't. I've never had an employer tell me I'm bad at those things. So I'm like, I'll take the criticism, but I just don't think you're right. I'm
Yeah, I
sorry.
mean, things that can always be discussed, but how did you get as far as you got by being bad at your job? I know people are wondering as we go through this, where's your friend? Is she still working there, or did she leave too, or what happened?
She actually, timing was really phenomenal for both of us. She has had kind of her own, she calls herself a Jill of all trades, and she truly is. She's great at everything. So her kind of side business slash her business really started taking off in February. This all happened in January. So she actually left about a month out, no, several weeks after I did,
Wow.
because she got so many jobs on her own.
Yeah.
And she just had a baby. She's doing phenomenal.
Oh,
She's done so many,
congratulations.
yes, congratulations. We love you. Yeah, she's done so many phenomenal murals and projects this year. I'm so proud of how far she's come. She's just doing a phenomenal job. So,
That's
we're
great.
both thriving. No worries.
Yeah. All right. So you read the front
So,
page, you gasp,
I
but
gotta go. And now
really,
I have to go to the dentist.
at 2:30, but you're not really surprised, probably, because you're like, this just fits exactly how things have gone thus far. This is their MO, their modus operandi.
So
Okay.
when I left, we had decided, I said, let me know if you want me to stay on to the end of the month, which at that point was like a week and a half. This week, it was a Monday, or what you want. They had decided they just wanted me to come in on Tuesday, update them on where some projects were, and then I would be done. No problem. So I read this thing, go to my dentist appointment. I'm stewing at all of this information. I
You're
read it
so
again.
mad you don't even need anesthesia
No, right? It was
to get
just
your
a teeth
teeth cleaned
cleaning,
or
but yeah.
whatever.
Yeah, and I've sent pictures of it to my friends. Jeremy's reading it. And I am now like, we all have a brain trust. So I had my friend that worked there. Of course, she saw it. And then I've got my other friend that took over my role at HSB, sending it to the people that I have worked with, and they've become my
Yes.
best friends. I'm like, guys, you're what? And they're all like fuming for me, So by the time, I think it was at like 7 o'clock that night, I was like, yeah, no, I will not be returning tomorrow. So I actually burned a letter because I knew that I could not keep reading that. And I knew if I had it, I would be
Yeah,
reading
of
it.
course, of course.
So I took a video of me burning it. It is in one of my reels on my
Oh,
Instagram.
interesting. I may have seen it and not realized that's what was
Yeah.
happening.
So I burned the letter. And then I wrote an email that I intended to send after I got all my stuff out. I went in Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. because I had access to the suite, got everything out of my office that was mine, because I had really moved a lot of stuff in there because I thought I was going to be there a long time. Got my stuff out, left my computer, left a note saying how much they owed me for my mileage because I'm going to get that money. And I shot them an email right before I left, and it didn't say much, but it said, I think I did call them out. I said something to the tune of, I read the cruel and defamatory things you wrote in that review, and I don't agree with them. And I just said, I hope that you are able to find someone who gives you more than four positives and a page and a half of negatives. And I left it at that.
Crazy.
And I blocked them on social media. I blocked their texts, because I just didn't want anything to do with them anymore.
Right. I mean, there's
I
nothing they can
forgot that
say or
she,
do at this point, you know?
yeah, I forgot that she had my personal email. So she did, email me back, the, not the design sister, the other sister. And it was a very long email, and mostly it said, that they were sorry, but they tried to mentor me, but it turns out I just can't cut it in a fast-paced, high-end luxury interior design firm.
Well,
And I
thanks for
said,
letting me know.
okay, sweetie, if by high-end you mean designing houses for yourselves and all of your rich best friends, because that's all the clients I ever saw there, sure. Sure. Whatever you need to think,
Fast-paced,
friend.
Anna, fast-paced.
Fast-paced,
Come
sure. They
on,
wouldn't know fast-paced if
fast-paced.
it bit him in the ass, but it's fine.
Wow.
So I was done, and I called Jeremy. Actually, right after I quit, I go, I'm so sorry, but they called me in for a review, and as soon as I said that, he already knew. And I was like, it looks like I'm going to be starting my own thing. And I truly believe that this is how it was supposed to happen. I'm honestly still trying to recover from the trauma of that 4 months, because I do still automatically now assume that I did something wrong, where I did that before, but now it's like I really think that I must be messing up. So I am still working through that, but I was planning to start my own business regardless. When I was at TRG, I thought I'll have a 5-year plan, I'll start it on the side, ease into it. But the truth of the matter is, if you work for a company like TRG that really does take care of their employees, they have a therapist that you have access to on staff. They have good benefits, good bonuses. They're really just good people. You're not going to leave somewhere like that to take a risk like this, but you are going to leave a shitty job to
Yes,
take
you
a
are.
risk like this.
Yes, you are.
So, I have a strong faith, and I think that this is exactly how God wanted this to go. And this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. That's not to say I left and then I'm making millions of dollars, because I'm
Nobody leaves
not.
and makes millions immediately. I mean, overnight success takes about 10 years. And that's the truth. I mean,
Well,
that's the reality.
did I think I was going to leave and make my salary? Yes, I did. I really did.
Good for you.
I have not. I really had high hopes. But I'm really proud of what I'm starting to build. I'm about 10 and a half months in.
So let's go back to, so the job ends, you wake up and you're like, what did I just do? And you're feeling badly about yourself because this is a huge mess. And it feels probably like a huge ending, but also just how, so you're like, okay, I'm just going to start my own company. I mean, was it really that easy from like, I quit, I suck, I'm going to start a new company, like all in the same 24
Yeah, I
hours.
think I was on adrenaline. I wasn't feeling bad about myself at all. I was feeling like, okay, I'm doing what I've been wanting to do for 20 years, and let's make this happen. I had already been thinking about it. It had been a year of me like thinking about a name, thinking about what I wanted to do. I really had been ruminating in it, and so it wasn't like woke up the next day and starting from scratch. It was woke up the next day and let's implement the stuff that I've been thinking about. So I truly did file my paperwork for my LLC that day.
Wow. You even had the name ready to go.
I did. Yeah.
And what is
Yeah.
the name of your company? Give it a little plug.
It's Contrast Interior Design. I
Okay.
do commercial and residential interiors.
And so how did you get your first client? How did that happen?
My first client was my Uncle Duke, which is my mom's brother.
Thanks,
And
man.
I hate saying that because I was so annoyed that the other place only had family and friends. But they reached out to me. They were like, for 2 years, we've been wanting to hire you to do our space. And this was about a week before I quit. And we finally need your help because our daughter's getting married. My cousin got married last August, and they wanted to have their space done by then. And I was like, okay, God, I see you. That same week, our best friends reached out and asked me to help them with their exterior. So it was like things were just kind of coming to me, those two things. I'm not going to make it sound like I got a million things. So I did have those two things to get me started, which was great. But I knew right away that I needed to file my LLC. I wanted to get a professional graphic designer on board, which my friend that was at that company with me, she has a graphic design that's her designer that was her partner. They do murals, and I love the style, so I immediately hired her. And I knew I wanted to get things in motion because I know that my brand is everything, what people see off the start. So I wanted it to be me and what I want to project into the world. So I just went for it. I'm kind of somebody that's always like, I don't know, I'll figure it out.
I love that.
And that's just who I am. I teach right now at Kent State, and
Oh,
when a couple of the students,
congratulations.
thank
I
you,
didn't know
yes,
that. Have you now, how
I
long have you
love
been doing that?
teaching.
Yeah,
I
that's
just
so
started the
great.
semester at Kent, but I've been teaching for 3
Nice.
years at Cleveland Institute of Art.
How lovely. Anna, what were you teaching at Cleveland Institute of Art?
So I was teaching construction drawings and sustainability and design. It was a weird mashup class. And then at Kent, I teach one of the junior studio classes for
That's
interior design.
so excellent. And did they come find you or you applied? How did it work out?
CIA came to me because I've done critiques there. They'll ask
Oh, I
professionals to
see.
come in and do critiques. And one of the women I did frequently talked with was like, hey, we're looking for a teacher. I think you'd be great. And she knew that I wanted to teach. Teaching really fuels me. I love it. So that's a great class because it's like one night a week and it didn't interfere with my work schedule. Kent State's Monday, Wednesday from 8 to 1. So it's like
Wow,
I've
that's
always wanted to teach there, but like you can't teach there and have a job for someone else, you know? And long story short, it turns out it's actually really hard to teach there and run your own business. So I'm not sure I'm going to be able to continue. But my favorite was one of the students when they found out I worked for myself. They were like, oh, so did you get a degree in business as well? And I was like, oh no. I'm just figuring this out, friend. I don't know.
Right. As we do when we just kind of go along one thing to the next. This has been an amazing journey. We have just a few minutes left, and so I just want to take us all the way back to when we started. Well, you and I started previously catching up about your family. We had kind of a little conversation about being an only child and starting to look at what the future looks like as we care for our parents. And then we really got it dug into this element of working and but anyway, so that's I just I think other people who will be listening to this, there's always a group that are like, is it just me? Am I alone? Like I think I do a good job and all I hear is I don't, and you're not alone. And that's kind of what also I think as we go through this first episode, the junk drawer is just digging around. What's in this drawer? Whether it's emotional mental health, whether it's how to be an only child with aging parents, whether it's are you ever. We're going to have to do a follow-up episode to find out what happens with your hummingbird feeder
We are sure. Yeah.
because
Oh yeah.
I'm
I don't know if
concerned.
anything's gonna change with that, my friend. But yeah, I think if anything, like for me, it's the takeaway is like there's probably something better on the other side of this. And there's a reason that you're going through it. And I know that's a terrible thing to hear when you're going through it. There's a reason for this, but you know, there truly is.
And sometimes
And
what you're going through is going to be a long time. It isn't
truly.
necessarily just a few weeks or a couple of days of bad. I mean, sometimes, wow, I mean, all the cliches that come to mind, right? But it's having that inner strength and knowing who you are. I love that message too. Like, take good care of yourself and know who you are and what you're worth so that if you have to stand alone and do it all by yourself, then you have to. There was a situation in my life where that happened. People were telling me, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I'm like, this is the only way out. This thing that I'm doing right now, there's, and I truly had to stand alone for a while and just believe in myself and get through it. And still today, I get some feedback from people like, no, you shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake. And I think that's okay, for you, it was a mistake. You wouldn't do the same thing. But the core me knows that I did the right thing at the right time. And if I have
I
to
agree.
stand alone, then that's where I stand. Farmer in the dell, standing
Farmer
alone.
in the doll.
I'm the cheese
I
in the
think
middle.
farmers are great. I love cheese. So,
I Okay, well, let's
In
just take
me.
a quick side note. In your junk drawer, what's your favorite kind of cheese? Do you
Oh
have a
gosh,
favorite?
growing up I loved Munster. But you
Yum.
know, I'm in a cheddar moment. I hate
Okay.
to be, you know,
Are
generic, but
you
how about
like the
you?
extremely sharp cheddar or kind of a mild cheddar?
Yeah,
The
I love a
sharper the
sharp
better.
cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
give
what
me
do
a
you,
strong flavor.
crackers, fruit, tacos, where
Oh,
is it
I'm
most
just gonna
likely
eat
to
that
show up?
cheese on its own.
Oh, you're just gonna like.
Yeah, just give me like I'll slice. Calm down. I'll slice it. It's not an apple, but yeah, I just like cheese.
That's so funny.
How about you? What's your favorite cheese?
Yeah, let's see. Well, I really love blue cheese as, the salad topping, all that. I do love blue cheese. Well, I'm trying to think. Feta, I eat feta on my salads. Honestly, there isn't a cheese I probably don't like. Last night I made really good meatballs and I used fresh Parmesan cheese. Fresh. I mean, not just the
Yeah,
Kraft.
like you grated it yourself.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Oh, that's good stuff.
And I'm sure if Lauren's listening right now, she's like, that never happened. My mother doesn't do that. But every now and then I do. I pull a
People can
cheese
change
grater
lives.
out of my junk drawer and I used it. And you brought up a really good point. Also, I always thought of a junk drawer as a place like where the scotch tape and the paintbrushes were, but also we actually have a junk drawer full of kitchen utensils. It's a big, deep drawer and we're always pawing through it, cursing, where's that thing?
Where's the peeler? Where is
Yeah,
the peeler? It's always at the bottom
it
or at the
is.
top, and I missed it.
Or in a different drawer because I'm. So that's the end of our first podcast. Sorry, the cat just walked on my keyboard. Well, Anna and I continued to talk for quite some. I decided to end my first episode there as Anna and I launched onto a whole nother conversation, as you could see where we were going with all that, which was nowhere. We were just walking around the kitchen. I just want to give a plug to my company, Parkersburg Tours, Legends to Landmarks here in Parkersburg, West Virginia. You can check us out at parkersburgtours.com. I also have put together a YouTube channel under Parkersburg Tours where I am highlighting, creating, and posting videos, short videos about the history of Parkersburg. So join me there. And next week we'll have another episode of the Junk Drawer, so please tune in for that. And I'm trying to come up with a clever sign off. So if you have any suggestions, like don't catch your fingers in the drawer, I don't think that's really a good one. I like the junk in your drawer. I mean, that sounds terrible. That right there is grounds for dismissal. Anyway, if you have any ideas for a clever sign off, I sure would appreciate them. Have a great week and see you next time.